Welcome to the Revolution Church Sermon of the Week.
For another opportunity to hear your word, to get into it, to hear what you have for us, to hear your heart. Father, I pray that will come through clearly in the words that I speak. Father, that we will hear what you have to say and what you want to impart to us. Because the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, Lord, we open your word with anticipation, a little bit of fear and trembling, knowing that you're going to touch on some things in our lives sometimes that we might not like. But, Father, we trust you in this, and we trust that whatever you have for us is going to be for our good, and it's going to bring greater things out of it, because you are a good God. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to start with a bit of a testimony today, because I love even just hearing Rob's testimony and you know, talking about it and the prayer that comes out of it, and just recognizing how much potential there is in the testimony of others to build our faith and to really encourage us to believe God for something that we need in our own lives. And so I'm hoping that my testimony will do the same for you, regardless of where you are and how you receive my testimony. Let's just see where it goes. I'm going to start with giving a confession in this testimony, because it's around God's faithfulness in terms of my finances. And the confession was, or is, that I've always struggled with tithing. And I know you're probably like, whoa, what's this? Somebody does? No. And the funny thing is that I never ever struggled with the theology of tithing. It was never ever a problem with me about, like, is it the law? Is it grace? Is it 10%? Is it gross? Is it net? Is it more? Are we, like, none of that was ever a problem to me. I always understood from Scripture that giving back to God was something that was for us to do. And it was something for us to do with joy and with gladness. And it was something I always wanted to do. Where I struggled with was in the execution, in the actual doing of the tithing. Which, as you know, it's great to say, I believe this thing. And it's another thing entirely to actually do this thing that you believe. At some point, you can question. You could have rightly questioned me and said, do you really believe in tithing? Because what you say and what you do are different things. And where I had run into a problem over time was taking a look at everything that I needed to do and kind of tithing based off of that. So if I had money left after all the bills were paid, I'd tithe. And if I didn't, then I would borrow from God to take care of that, understanding that I would get it back at some point. And that stretched on for years and years and became a habit, right? So that's my confession. So in the last few months, last 3 or 4 months or so, we've been getting to a place in our finances where we've really been struggling financially and really struggling to make ends meet, really struggling to kind of make everything work. And coming up into the month of July, my company was switching to a biweekly payroll as opposed to twice a month. And they gave us lots of notice in this and said, okay, just so you know, the first paycheck in July is going to be half a paycheck, okay, because of the transition. So be ready for this. Have your budget ready. You have lots of time to prepare. And I don't know about anybody with families with kids, but there's not really lots of money left over at the end of the budget once you're taking care of all the kids and stuff like that. So I saw this coming, and I tried to prepare for it, and it made no difference. July came, and I knew we were hooped. So really, I was looking at our budget, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to pay all these bills this month, and we're just going to figure it out, because there's just nothing, right? There's no savings, there's nothing to go, right? We're just going to go for it. And around the same time as I started to prepare for this, I was starting to look at our finances and be like, okay, we're way overextended here, here, and here. We're paying too much interest here. I started to look at seeing how we could try and consolidate and kind of bring everything in and lower our monthly payments or interest, kind of standard fare, right? And so around that time, we started a process with a bank to try and get a consolidation loan. Had a horrible experience with them. I could rage on about that for 15 minutes, so I won't, because that'll be very counterproductive to a testimony. But needless to say that when we're in the middle of this, we were finding that, like, it wasn't working out. We were getting declined. You know, talking about the credit score is very interesting, because we saw our credit score laid bare before us, and it wasn't bad, it wasn't good, it was just right there in the middle. And so out of being left with nothing and saying, okay, this isn't working, all they did is they hit our credit score and made it drop more by trying to look at us to see whether we could get this loan. We tossed out, like, what you'd call a true Hail Mary pass to another bank that we very intermittently bank with, and we just like, okay, whatever. I filled it in online. and left it. I'm like, I'm sure this is going to be declined because we went in and talked to these people. They went through everything and they declined us. So I'm just going to put this there and see what happens, right? So July comes around and sure enough, we get this half a paycheck. And, you know, I just started doing normal stuff. I was kind of ready for this. I knew it was going to be pretty tough and we were starting to deal with it. So this is, the time frame of this is about 3 months after I left my previous job. And that was when I should be getting my final incentive check from my last job. And talking to other people around that time, because I didn't see it right away. So I was like, okay, well, either I didn't get anything or it was too small that they didn't bother. Because other people were talking like, oh, yeah, it was $50. It was $100. It was nothing. So I was like, okay, whatever. So I'm sitting there at home and I'm working. And I checked the bank for some odd reason. I don't know why. And I saw that I'd gotten my incentive check from my other company. And it was half my paycheck. And I was honestly broken. There was something inside of me that just broke when I saw that because it was unexpected. I honestly didn't know if I'd get anything at all, and I wasn't really expecting to get anything. And at that moment when I saw that, and I saw that that was exactly what we needed to fill in the gap of that month, of how that month is going to be, I was honestly so broken that I couldn't touch it. And I don't know if any of you have heard or remember the story of David. I'm going to tell it real quickly because it applies. When he was in the midst of his, you know, the times when before he became king and he was out with all of his guys and they're being hunted by Saul. At one point, David said, I would give anything to just have a drink from the well. And I believe it's in Jerusalem. And three of his guys heard that. And they said, you know what? We're going to do this. And they broke into the city, into a heavily defended city, and got him water from this well. And when they brought it to him, David was so broken he couldn't drink it. He poured it out before God. Because he's like, I just can't do this. Like, this represents the blood of these men. And he was just broken. He was just so hit by this that he couldn't even touch it. And that's how I was. That's how I felt. And so when I was looking at this money, I was like, you know what? I'm going to just give this right away. Because in my mind, I'm like, I was so broken by the faithfulness of God to come when we needed it, that he was faithful even when I was faithless. And I'll touch that scripture in a little bit as well. And so I still love my wife. She comes really alongside of me even when I do crazy things. And I was just like, babe, I showed her, I said, it's here, it's this, and it covers us, and I just can't touch it. I want to give it right away. And she was in agreement with me. She's as crazy as I am, obviously. And so we did. We farmed it out right away. Like, I didn't even look at it. I didn't look at our bills. I just gave it because I was like, you know what? It represented to me God being so faithful in the midst of times when I needed it so bad. And it so underscored for me how much God is able to be our provider, to provide for us even when we don't deserve it. You know, even when, like, if one of the things, if you look at giving and tithing, it's very easy to see the whole, like, if you give, you'll receive, and you should tithe, and God will bless you, and all these kinds of things, right? So the reverse of that is true. It's very easy from that point of faith or lack of faith to say, well, you know, I haven't really been giving, so God's probably not going to bless me, and you get into this weird little headspace, right? And God just broke through all of that and said, look, here, I am your provider. So we gave it away right away. We tithed it and just kind of got rid of it in that sense, because I just, again, even talking about it now, I'm just so overcome by how awesome God was in that situation. And then shortly after that, again, going forward, nothing's really changed in our hearts. We've just kind of been hit by this thing and moving forward. And we get a call from the bank, and they'd approved us for the money that we needed for the loan. And it was so weird because they didn't have any conversations with us. They didn't really do anything apart from a cursory credit check, and they just approved it. And again, I was like, God, like, what is this? Like, this is so mind-blowing because, again, even though we needed something, God provided for us, we gave it away, and then God provided again, and the month of July went by without a hitch, you know, without any real drama, like nobody died from hunger, and I didn't lose any weight, unfortunately, you know, but it's just, I guess that's kind of what I want to touch on as we talk, and talking about this testimony. What I want you guys to take away from it is the faithfulness of God, and how we respond to that. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I always distrust preachers who ask for a show of hands. I always feel like I'm going to get tricked, like I'm the one that held my hand up for the wrong reason. But I want you guys to think, can you think of a time in your life where God has not been faithful to you? Like, I'm willing to bet that I could not find a hand here of somebody who could say, you know what? I needed God and God was unfaithful. He did not come through. And that's something for us to kind of sit back and realize, because if God is faithful, if he is true to his word, then why do we struggle to have faith in him at times? Sure, I have human nature. Sure, of course. But I want you guys to think about that, because even as Nick was talking about, as he's running and he's hearing like just how creation builds his faith, and just thinking about all the things that we need to believe God for, the one thing that we can start with, that we can stand on, is God's faithfulness. And I'll read that scripture now, which is in 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. He says, this is a faithful saying. I'll just read the whole thing, because I love it. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign as with him. That might be a typo. I don't remember. I typed that out. If we deny him, he will also deny us. That was a bit of a whoo to me. I was like, wait, what? I remember seeing that there before. If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. And this is a bedrock that our faith can be built on, that the faithfulness of God, he is who he is. And Jeb touched on that last week when he said that God named himself as I am the Lord, your healer. And he touched on some of the other names of God as well. He says, I am the Lord who provides, right? And I am the Lord, your healer. I am your banner. And is God saying, I am, this is who I am. And that is the bedrock that we can begin to build our faith on, or to encourage ourselves. Even Paul in Hebrews 10 says, be encouraged. He who promised is faithful. And even talking about the faithfulness of God, even in another area, I remember when Nikki was pregnant with Philip, I remember we went through this time where, I don't know what was happening, I think she was feeling ill or something like that, and we were so scared that Philip was going to die. Like, we were just terrified. New parents, about to become new parents, first time pregnant, we were just so scared. You know, we'd been through a miscarriage before, and we felt like this was happening. And God brought somebody to pray with us out of the blue that spoke prophecies over this child that was yet to be born. And we were really struck by that, because we thought, why would God give us a word for the future of this child if this child was going to die in the womb? And it built our faith. Because God is faithful. Now, would we have had that if we had found that God was unfaithful over time? Of course not. If I promise you something, you can be like, well, he'll probably do it. He's a pretty good guy. He should. I'm sure he'll do it. Unless he's busy. Or something else happens. I'm sure he'll do it. But with God, though, we don't have that wishy-washy. Like, God says, I'm going to do this thing. He's going to do it. Of course, where we struggle, though, and I see these things in Scripture, and it always kind of, like, oh, okay. Abraham, here's a perfect example, the father of faith. God says, there's that awesome Scripture that I wrote down, and then I think I cut off at the end, unfortunately, where it says that he put his faith in God who speak things into being that don't exist. Because he had a body that was ready to give up. He was an old man. He was ready to go. His wife was, they were both beyond their childbearing years. And he still believed God, because God says, from you is going to come a great multitude. You're going to be the father of many nations. And even Abraham had to wait 25 years before he saw that. Now, I've been married almost 20 years, and that is a lifetime already. Abraham had to wait a lifetime in that sense to see God's promise happen, to see that promise fulfilled. And of course, we struggle with that at times, because we have been praying for years for something and it hasn't happened. Or maybe we've been praying for weeks or months or days. Who knows? Our perspective is always skewed, right? Sometimes you pray for something and it hasn't happened right away. You're like, okay, well, obviously it's not God's will for this, because it didn't happen. I got prayed for, I didn't get healed. Not his will. I'm going to move on, because that's kind of all I can really rationalize in my mind. Whereas there are times when there is that waiting period where we have to just hold on to God. And so coming back to this, like to God's faithfulness and how it affects our faith response, the other thing I want to touch on too is how it affects our response as people in giving back to God. So this is not a sermon on finances and tithing and giving, although I hope you will pull some of that away from my testimony as well. But I want to take us to Romans 12, which is probably quite I'm sure most of you know it, but I'll read it anyway. 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the first part of that scripture is kind of the part that I want to touch on, because he's saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, or the way I'm going to say it now is, in light of God's faithfulness, in light of all that God has given you, that you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And this is something, you know, I think many preachers like me, when we preach from, you know, in a sense to a mirror. Because I don't say anything to you that I feel like I've achieved and I'm there and I'm looking down on you guys. I'm saying, like, this is something that God is really resonating with in my heart. That in light of God's faithfulness, what is my response to him? In service, in giving, in offering of myself. And I said this to the boys the other day, I remember, just we were talking about worshiping and coming and being a part of church and coming out on a Sunday morning. In light of all that God has done for you, in light of all his faithfulness, in light of all the answers to prayer, all the things that you've seen of God, how much is it really for you to come and give an hour of your time in worship or 2 hours of your time on a Sunday? Or to come early and help set up, or to break down at the end? We talked about the areas of service that we need. How much is it for us, really? How much are we really coming against that debt, as it were? Even though I don't want you to think about it as like, oh, I have to pay God back. But just if you think about all that God has done, how much of that are you really chipping away at when you give of yourself? Not much, really. In light of eternity? I was reading again about Jim Elliot because I thought about his quote. And I don't know if any of you know who Jim Elliot was. He was one, along with three other guys, who wanted to take the gospel to some Indian tribes in Ecuador. And he gave his life for that. In fact, he tried to reach out to them, and he was murdered by that same tribe before he was able to actually see any fruit of that gospel. Because it's a very interesting story. You should read it at some point. It's awesome. But several months before he was murdered, he wrote in his journal that he is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And I thought about that in light of eternity, right? Because, you know, we talk about, well, you can't take it with you. And we know that, right? We know that the things that we can do on this earth, we can build up for ourselves, wood, hay, and stubble that are just going to burn before God at the end. Or we can give ourselves to something that is of eternity. And I think about my time, I think about my finances, I think about my skills and abilities and even my strength, my ability to lift something and carry it somewhere. I am no fool to give up what I cannot keep to gain what I cannot lose. Right? Because God has given us a kingdom, an eternal kingdom that even goes beyond just talking about God, you know, blessing our finances or healing us of our diseases or kind of all the things that we're praying for and holding on for. We have an everlasting kingdom. And my encouragement in this, and where God has really been hitting on me in hitting me on these things, is what is my response to God? You know, when times are tough, do I just kind of like turtle in and hold on to everything, hold on to my time? Do I hold on to my time because I'm busy and I'm tired and I want to hold on to everything? Or do I turn that around and just give back to him? Not out of some weird concept of if I do this, then God will do this. Not out of some kind of weird way of trying to inflict legalism, but just to say, God, I'm going to give you everything. You're faithful. I'm going to just give it back to you. Give you my time, my finances, everything that I have. Even talking about waiting for the promises of God. You know, I love this verse, and I'll read through them because sometimes I feel like everybody should know these, but you never know. Sometimes you don't. So, and even that's not bad for us to hear it again. From Isaiah 40, verse 30 to 31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. I don't know if that's new to you or if you've heard that a million times or if you recite it every single day to try and get you through the day. But I tell you, man, God is faithful. God is faithful. You know, and if you look back over your life and you can't find many ways where you can see that you could point out the faithfulness of God, well, look around you. Some awesome testimonies in this place of times when God has come through for us when we needed him the most, or when times were darkest, or where he's seen us through some really dark times and brought us out the other side and blessed us when we didn't deserve his faithfulness and his blessing. So, I mean, that's pretty much where I want to wrap it up, because I know that there are times that we have to wait for the promises of God. There's times when we pray for healing and it comes right away, and we thank God for that, and I want that more and more. And there's times when, you know, in our life, we've been praying for healing for something that's in my family, and we've been praying for it for years, and I haven't seen it yet. But I know that God is faithful, and that's it. So my faith doesn't rest on whether or not somebody who has the anointing can pray for me, and maybe this person is the one who can pray for me and it'll happen. My faith rests on the faithfulness of God, that he is who he says he is. And so that is my encouragement to you. No matter what you're waiting for, if it's financial, if it's healing, if it's something in your job, if it's something that you're going through, something you're struggling with, that you need to see freedom from, God is faithful. He remains faithful even when you are faithless, because he will not deny himself. Amen? Let's stand together. You know, I don't necessarily feel like I need to see somebody come up or to raise their hands or anything like that, because I don't feel like this is a word like that specifically. But I think this is a time for us to really look into our hearts and to say, God, yeah, you're right. You are who you say you are. You are faithful. You have come through for me. And so I ask you, as we pray, for you to think about that and to think, you know, think about times in your life when you've needed God and he's come through for you. Think of times when he's been faithful. Think of times of provision or times of blessing or times of struggle where God has been there for you and brought you through. And let that be something that rises up in you and says, you know, yes, I want to step out. I want to give. I want to offer. I want to offer my body as a living sacrifice, because you, God, are worthy. You are worthy of this. And so, Lord, we lift you up individually, as a body, as a family, as a team. We declare, Lord, that you are faithful. That even when we are faithless, you remain faithful, because you cannot deny himself. That faithful is he who has called us, and he will complete it. And Lord, that we can stand on your word, and we can stand on your promises, and we can hold on to all that you have for us, because you are faithful. There is no shadow of turning in you. There is no wishy-washy. There is no maybe. There is no if, and, or but. Your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And God, I stand at the front here, and I declare over this body, over these people, over these beloved people, your heart, the promises that you have given, that they will happen, that you will see them through, because you are faithful. And I declare faith. I speak a proclamation of faith in every heart. Father, you know our weakness. You know that we are as grass. And yet you come alongside us and you lift us up and you carry us and you give us wings of eagles to run and not grow weary and to walk and not faint. And I proclaim that over this family in the name of Jesus, that we will hold on. And not just hold on and barely scrape by and barely make it through, but we will stand and we will flourish and we will give of ourselves and we'll give back to you, Lord, out of the joy and the great and just the grace that you've poured on us. God, we thank you. It's not by what we've done, it's not who we are, it's who you are. We give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Chair. Just encourage you guys with that word. I've gone through very similar stuff in the past couple months, and just to see the faithfulness of God. But I encourage you, sometimes when you're under stuff, you don't feel it right away in the proclamation. It's like the word comes first. Faith in the word, and then the rest will follow. And I've experienced that this year with incredible attacks, with a little seasoning of Derek the demon, as it were. always, you know, because there's circumstances, and then you're a Christian, so there's spiritual things going on. But I just encourage you with who you are in Christ, and to know what this book says, or wherever my book is. You know, ignorance of the promises, you know. Like if your grandfather died and he was worth $100 million, everyone gets around and goes right through the will. Who gets what? Everyone's sitting there like rabid dogs. Okay, what's mine? Right? There's a ton in this book that you could be potentially quite ignorant to. And you're living like a pauper when there's riches in the bank account with your name on it. I know they're all kind of corny analogies, but it's the truth. It's the truth of it. And proclamation builds your faith, and it also goes out. We battle not against flesh and blood. And the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the sword of the Spirit, is the word of God. And that's what Jesus used in Matthew 4. He quoted scripture to Satan. He didn't quote ideologies. He didn't quote philosophies. He just quoted the word of God. So I just encourage you, what you're going through, to stand fast. And try and wean yourself off of emotion dictating how your life is led. Because some days really suck. I don't know why, they just do. But God is faithful, and we continue to lay hold of who he is. Amen? So if you need prayer, if you feel you need prayer, I just invite you up, or turn to the person next to you if you feel comfortable for a prayer of healing as well. And just if you're struggling with anything, we want to bear each other's burdens. Other than that, God bless. Enjoy some coffee.